some of the men and women that God used to help his nation Israel in times of trouble and sin that had infected the people. And today we continue on with our studying about the life of one of these judges named Gideon. We saw how God had come to him and revealed himself to Gideon there and made him know that he had a plan for his life. Today we're going to see how it continues on as he goes step by step until the final thing that we read about him here in the book of Judges. And it's interesting, of all the judges that are recorded in this book, he seems to have got a whole lot of attention. So I think maybe God's trying to tell us we ought to learn something from his experience. In a lot of ways, he reminds of our experience in our lives before the Lord in this world of sin and trouble. We have a challenge from God to walk his way in contrast to the ways of the world. And when we do that, it will cause opposition. It will cause us to confront others. Today, as we begin in verse 25 through verse 32, we see one of the first areas which God called Gideon to take a stand by faith against the wrong activities and actions of others, even in his own family. Verse 25, it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was. Because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal that was cast down and the grove was cut down by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it's yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day he called him Jerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Now, some of the things that may be strange to our ears of the what was going on in those days, they were worshiping this idol called Baal. It was a goddess or a god of fertility, and Ashtaroth was the female companion with this worship, they tell us. The groves that's mentioned here was a place where the trees were set up and a place of activity around that religious ceremonies that they involved themselves with that would hope to get prosperity. They would engage in immoral activities around that in the name of that religious rite in hopes of getting success in their children and success in their crops and all that. It's a pagan worship. And I don't want to go into all the details of that, but notice we're talking about the children of Israel to whom God had given the words of God, the laws of Moses. He told them to avoid and to cast out all these false gods, and here they are involved in it. And not only are they generally involved, even Gideon's own family. His father's place, he put up an altar to this Baal, but now God calls him to go and to oppose that, to cast it down and take a stand for the Lord. And instead of the altar of Baal, he's to build up an altar unto the Lord. And if you read another place in the Old Testament, it tells us God's altars were to be built of stones, not hewn by man, but normal. They were just made by God, and you put them together in a certain way. He doesn't want any man-made part of the altar that would be erected in the name of the Lord. And that speaks to us of the fact that God's work for our salvation is his work. We don't add to it. We merely receive it and obey God's teaching by faith. But the Lord said this to Gideon, and I want to think about the progression of Gideon in his life of following the Lord. You know, when a person gets saved, it's a new way of life. And there are a lot of challenges that come after that. There's opposition from the world and from your own flesh and, of course, the devil. Because God's ways are not our ways. His ways are far above our ways, and he does things we don't understand. And as it comes down to our everyday life, we realize that sometimes we have to take a stand against the wickedness around us. And it's sad to say that these people had gone so far away from the Lord and their habits and their customs that the people of the city were upset when one man would stand for the Lord God who had brought them out of Egypt and given them the promised land and had blessed them all those years. And yet, is that not what we see today? People who stand up for the word of God and righteousness in our lives saying, well, you're a bunch of haters because we've decided we're going to do it a different way and we're going to change the laws. No, we don't hate anybody. We just know that sin leads to destruction. And it doesn't matter what kind of sin it is. All sin leads to destruction. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So by standing against certain and several evil practices of our day, we're not hating people. We're trying to warn them to flee from the wrath to come, to get out from under the bondage of these sins that are spreading and the false information out there in the world that is trying to destroy our love for God. Jesus said in the New Testament, you cannot serve God and mammon. And we always learn you can't serve the money thing, but also you choose whom you will serve. Joshua said it before in the last part of his book, choose ye this day whom you will serve. The gods in whose land you dwell, the gods of the people where you came up from the other side of Jordan. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That should have been the situation here, but they had deviated from it. And then I also notice how God still reached out to them through this man and others of the judges. No matter how bad it is, God's still calling people to come unto him. No matter how wicked our nation goes, God will still receive everyone who turns to him by faith in Jesus Christ. And no matter what sins we have been involved with, if we'll turn from that unto the Savior, he'll cleanse us from those sins. The Bible promises the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sins. Doesn't matter what they are or how many you think you know. God knows them all. He said he'll take care of it all. It is sufficient, his salvation. Everything is provided. But God wants us to continue on to do our work for him in our life as we minister, as we share the word of God in our life and in our proclaiming. So Gideon here is led by the Lord to do a specific thing. He tells him to go and to take the second bullock of his father. Why would he say the second one, but not the first one? Most of the times, the sacrifices in the Old Testament was the firstborn. Well, it could be, and according to one of the commentaries that I read, it said probably the first bullock had already been devoted to Baal, but the second one wasn't. So it was available for the Lord's work. God always separates the things that have been turned away from him unto wickedness, and he wants us to get rid of those things and to change our heart attitude toward him. But anyway, he took this second bullock, and he took the wood from the grove. That was the place where the trees had been all set up and an opening there made, and a place where they did all those things that they did in their worship of these false gods. Cut it all down and make an altar. Burn the thing on the altar. And he did all of that. Because God told him to do it. But do you notice in the midst of obeying God, he still had a little bit of fear. We read in our text, verse 27, the last part, he feared his father's household and the men of the household and the men of the city. They could not do it by day, so he did it by night. You know, when God calls somebody, it doesn't mean we have all of our problems gone. We still have to overcome our personal deficiencies. One of them is Gideon's. He's always fearful. We'll see that again later on in the chapters as we read them, how he was always questioning, you know, really, you want me to do this? You know, I'm not able. Don't you feel like that sometimes? I can't do that. I'm not able. But you see, it's not us that's doing it in our own strength. It's us obeying God. And God is able to give us that which we need to accomplish what he's told us to do. Or said another way, where God guides, God provides. He'll provide the strength. He'll provide us the courage. He'll provide us the understanding that we need to obey him in that specific situation. He made that sacrifice there on the top of the hill where everybody could see it. Now, before, it had been a place dedicated to Baal and Ashtaroth, these false gods of the pagans, and everybody looked up. And then when he tore it down and made an altar to the Lord, everybody noticed. That again shows us an example of when we're serving the Lord, people will notice. Not because we're trying to make a big show of it like the Pharisees. You know, Jesus warned against that, said, don't be like them, that they sound a trumpet. Said, all right, everybody look at me, I'm going to pray. Said, go pray in your secret, you know, serve God faithfully. But when you do serve God and when you do obey God, it will be noticed by people around you. Number one, because you're not doing what they're doing. And sometimes I've met people and talked to them, and they say, you just think you're too good to drink with me or whatever. I said, I don't drink at all. I don't care if it's you or the president. I don't drink that stuff. I take a stand against that. I don't want it. And I sometimes tell them about my family history involved with that stuff and how many are dead. But regardless of that, people twist our desire to serve God into making us, we think we're better than them. Not at all. If they want to think that, we can only answer them and let God work on their hearts. But we're not doing it trying to lift ourselves up. We're just saying, I believe God wants me to do it this way. I believe that I should live pure and chaste and be faithful in marriage. And I believe I should be faithful in my home and my job and all those things that we believe are righteous lifestyles. We lift them up. And if others want to go another way, they're going to have to live with the consequences. And maybe if they don't turn and get saved, they'll die with the consequences. And those consequences, no matter what our sins are, if you die in your sins, you're without hope, without God in this world. There's only two ways, as someone has sung. There's a way to heaven, and then there's a way to hell. Which one do we want? Gideon, by faith, obeyed God and did what he told him to do. It's a simple command. Go out, cut down those trees, break down the false altar, build the right one, and make a sacrifice to the Lord. And you know, God uses us in various ways, not because we're able to figure it all out, but because he wants us to serve him. And still, think about Gideon's life. This is a simple first command. Later on, he's going to defeat a whole army of the enemy in a very unusual way. A way that contradicts all the military strategies you've ever read. But, you know, God often, and we can look at several examples in the scripture, uses his people little at a time until they grow in their trusting of him. Think about David. Before he went to face Goliath, he had already experienced the Lord's help and protection and power when he slew the lion and the bear. In fact, if you read those story there in 1 Samuel, he's standing before the people and is saying, They're questioning, you can't go fight against this man. He's bigger than you. He's a skilled warrior. He's got all the armaments, and you're just a boy. You know, how are you going to? He said, the Lord's with me. The battle's God's. God took care of me when I fought the lion and when I fought the bear, and he'll take care of me now. See, he had built his faith in God. Abraham was taught to obey God. First of all, he left Ur of the Chaldees by faith, not knowing where he's going. God said, get up and go, and I'll show you where to go. And I'll build you a great land and a great nation. And Abram had no children. He had no understanding, but he went by faith. Later on, God called him and said, I'm going to give you a son. And he was old. And yet God led him step by step. Then later in his life, God said, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, go up in a place I'll show thee and sacrifice him. And Abraham, by faith, went up. Of course, God knew all the time what he would do. But Abraham, Hebrews tells us, believed that God was able even to raise him up from the dead. See, God had promised that through Isaac, all the world would be blessed. And the descendants of Abraham through Isaac would be like the sand of the seashore and the stars of the heaven. Abraham believed it. So no matter what happened, he believed God would accomplish his word. And his faith grew. Think of Peter. in his life on this earth. He followed the Lord, and then he denied him three times, and yet the Lord brought him back. And then at Pentecost, he preached that great sermon, and thousands came to salvation. Later on, he preached in other places all his life. He was a rock to those believers in those early years. God grew these men in their experience as they followed him step by step. So Gideon learned step by step. What about us? We don't know today when we first trust the Lord what all it's going to involve. We don't know what battles we're going to face, what we're going to have to do, but God will guide us along. Our responsibility is to follow step by step. We sang earlier that song, Footsteps of Jesus That Lead Us to Him. Think of that. We're following, and you're only following a step at a time. You don't see it all right now. There's a scripture in Psalms I love to quote, and I like to think of this idea of our life for the Lord. He says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And they tell us that that lamp referred to there in that scripture in those old days was an oil lamp, a olive oil probably, or whatever kind of oil they would use, and they would tie it on their foot, and they would walk with that light in the night. And you think, a flame, how much illumination does that give you? Enough for the next step. They didn't have bright LED flashlights like we have, you know, they see a half a mile away. They had to live step at a time. And I believe that's true with us spiritually by the Word of God. We live from faith to faith. We obey what God has shown us now, and we go on to the next and the next, and God will take us all the way. And then Gideon's faith was known by all, as I mentioned already. It was on a mountainside. Everybody could see it. And it called for a confrontation of the enemies who rejected the Lord. And we must understand when we stand for the Lord, there are some who won't understand. Some who will even try to prevent us from following the Lord. That should not stop us. Rather, we ought to look to Him for encouragement in that. The battle is the Lord's. We just need to do our part and trust God for the results. We can't understand it all. We don't have the big picture as God has it all. But we know what He's told us to do. I remember the story in the New Testament of the man that was born blind, whom Jesus healed. And after that, the Pharisees came and interrogated him. Well, who was it? What did he do? And how can this be? A man, he couldn't be of God. He healed you on the Sabbath day. He broke our rules. And that man said, I don't know about that. I know one thing. I was blind. Now I see. You see, they were questioning Jesus because he didn't conform to their ways. And yet this man, whom had received a great miracle, he didn't understand it all. But simply by faith, he received the gift of sight from the Lord. And when we trust Christ to forgive our sins and to save our souls, we don't understand it all. But we take it step by step in our life and follow the Lord. But then, you know, there's going to be opposition. We have opposition from the people here, the local people that looked up and they called on Gideon's father to bring him out so they can bring judgment on him. I love the answer that he gave. He said, are you going to plead for Baal? Are you going to save your God? I mean, if he's a God, let him take care of himself. I like that. You know, but notice the result. Gideon, by faith, did what his father had not yet done. Turned from the idolatry unto the Lord God of Israel. And it, I believe from the words that Joash said, that impacted him. He realized that if this altar dedicated to this Baal could be torn down by his son, then he wasn't real. You know, how do we show people the difference between the true God and all the false ideas running around our world? Well, we see God do what man can't do. He can heal a soul. He can save sinners, and he calls them saints because we have turned our heart and life over to him. And he does for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You know, it's wonderful to realize through Christ we're forgiven of our sins. The judgment has been taken away. We don't have to face hell. That's wonderful. But I love that other part. He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all our sin. Cleanse us. Clean us up from the defilement. To change our understanding, our experience. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We sing these songs with great symbolic meanings. But they are deep and really powerful images there to if we realize what we're talking about. God changes our perception of the world by cleaning us up so we can see as we ought to see. We can hear as we ought to hear. We can understand as we ought to understand. Often through the New Testament, Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." I believe that's a reference to the Lord working on the hearts of people and their lives, that God opens up your eyes spiritually that you might see the light. Your ears spiritually might hear the word and understand and be converted. Oh, how often people go along and they hear, but they don't hear. The word just bounce off, if you will. They don't comprehend it. They don't really get it. But God has to open up our heart and life. And we pray for that. But in order for that to happen, we have to take steps of faith. He leads us unto himself. And as a believer, we have to follow the Lord step by step. Gideon did everything step by step until later on he would go ahead and have this great battle and win. Unimaginable way that he did it, but he had learned through experience. He had an influence on his family that had not yet been saved. You know, when one person gets saved, God often uses them to be a witness to others around them in their own family. What a great opportunity that is, and a great promise from God. But everybody has to receive him personally, but it affects them. One person gets saved, and then he witnesses to others, and they see the change that Jesus makes. They see the change in the life and the attitude. But Gideon had to follow the Lord by faith, step by step. And I understand many of us are similarly in that position. We don't know enough to do everything that we'd like to do later on, but we have to follow. What are the steps that we need to follow as Christians? Well, first you need to be one. You need to get saved. Trust the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. And then we need to follow him. How do we follow him? Well, we obey what he said. I believe a believer ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism after they've been saved. And then we ought to continue on and read the Bible. That's God's word to us. And if you don't read it, how are you going to know what he wants? How are you going to grow? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Coming together in the Lord's house, that's wonderful and that's good, that's commended. We do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We ought to be encouraged by one another, provoking one another to love and to good works. We grow with that. When we tell others of what the Lord has done for us, we grow. When we obey him, step by step, following the Lord. But you know, by doing that, it's going to mean we're going to have to change our activities and our habits that are contrary to the word of God. When God's word tells us something is wrong, then we say, oh, I understand, I'm going to get rid of that. God's word tells us something is right, then we say, oh, I need to be involved with that. You see, we need to take that as a standard for our life's practice. For many years, many Baptists in the past have used this theme when explaining why we do what we do. We say, we believe the Bible is the sole standard for faith and practice. That means we believe the Bible is the Word of God and it's true, and that's what we should be following in our life. It's not man's tradition. It's not visions from somebody else. It's whatever the Word of God says. That's our standard. That's our Word from God. People talk about a whole bunch of other things. I don't know what they saw. I don't know what they heard. I don't know what they experienced, but I know what God said. It's right here before me. So we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when you rightly divide it, you understand what it means, then you put it into practice. James talks, what good is faith without works? It's dead, being alone. You see somebody come, he's naked and without food, and he's hungry, and he comes to you and says, help me. And you say, well, be thou warmed and filled, but you don't give him anything. What good is that? If you want to help him, you're going to give him something that would help his need. Faith goes along with our activities, and the faith that's real works out in our lives. And James goes on to explain, was not our father Abraham? You see, his faith, he believed God, and then he went and obeyed God. Rahab the harlot believed the word of the witnesses, and she believed God. She stayed in the house by faith. She saved herself and her family that came in with her. They put their faith to work. They obeyed God. In our hymn book, we have a song we always use from time to time called Trust and Obey. And I love that theme. Trust, that's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. and obey, following him step by step in our life. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Isn't that simple? And yet so many people miss it. They're looking for an experience. They're looking for a vision. They're looking for something that feels. Do what God said now, and he'll lead you step by step until we get to glory. Someone has told the story, and I repeat it, of a dear one who was fearful of dying and would often say, "Oh, please pray for me that I would have dying grace." And was worried that they didn't have dying grace. And finally somebody said, "Look, when you're ready to die, God will give it to you. But until then, don't worry about it." You know, we sometimes concern ourselves about things that aren't there yet. Trust God. By faith, he's going to lead us every day, all the way. We stand together for our invitation hymn and invite you to open your books with me to page 320.